We have hope in Him that even in our failure and even in our imperfection, that we serve a God whose grace is more than sufficient for us. That it's not just enough, but it's more than enough. And He is good today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You might be thinking, well, Pastor, I thought you said we were going to be done with this series. We are, kind of. If you're visiting, we just finished a series entitled Hope Rising. Understanding and knowing that the realities of life, they do weigh on us, but there is hope even in the midst of the realities of life, in the struggles of life. And today, my hope is that as we have looked at how hope would rise within us, that hope always brings us to a place where it produces a faith. And this morning, my prayer and kind of the focus of what we're going to be looking at is faith that's growing, a growing faith, not a faith that is dead, but a faith that is alive and a faith that is growing. And so we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, not chapter 4, which we've been in, chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. Are you there? I don't want to go without you. I want us to go together. All right, we're going to look at it here this morning. The Word of God says, "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise." I don't know if that made sense. "We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us. A sphere that also includes you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you. For we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow," look at your neighbor and say, "continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory, but let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends." Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your word, and we believe just as it was written many years ago, Lord, it still is applicable to our lives today. God, we live in a day and an age and a time that is very similar to this time when Paul is writing to this church in Corinth. Maybe hearing a lot of different things, a lot of different teachings, and God maybe being drawn this way and that way. Lord, I pray that in this place today we would hear your Spirit. Not rhetoric by man, but that the Spirit of the Lord would move on our hearts. Lord, that you would speak today even in words that are not uttered by man. That you would call your people, continue to transform, continue to mold and form us as you've created us. And Lord, we just commit this time to you and ask that you would have your way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Through this fall season, there's a few things that we have grown accustomed to doing and have become a part of our fall routine. One of them is going to a farm in which we enjoy fall stuff, such as apple cider and donuts. Oh, I see some faces already thinking, wait, it's too close to lunch. Don't be talking about apple cider and donuts. We serve here, and some of the greatest aspects about being here in Northern Michigan is maybe the best and the most maybe fresh farm to table kind of things. And we have, for the last 3 years now, I believe, we've gone every year, and we've gone to this place, and I had a video I wanted to show. It's not going to work because of some formatting, but at this place that we go to, there's this, like, zip line. And the first year we came, 3 years ago, Carter was four. And I can remember him doing this. And us being extremely nervous about it. You know, being the parent right behind the child and kind of making sure that they're not going to topple, right? And I don't think Hallie did it that first year. She would have been two. But I remember the following years, everybody has then begun to do it. Well, this year, our youngest is two. And fearless. You know, it's hard to even believe that we have been here so long that people who know us from downstate don't even know our youngest because he wasn't even around. We just got together with some friends and they were like, wow, I don't even know this one. You know, like it's, and he's running around and jabbering a little bit, but this brave soul, Caden, got, I don't know whether it was pure influenced by his brothers and sisters who were doing it, and Cole was definitely doing it, and he's three, but he's a little bit bigger, and so we thought, let him go. What's the worst that can happen? Right? What is the worst possible thing that could happen? Sidebar, I just want you to know, so not only am I pastor here, but I'm also a web designer. So if you see some flashes, it's because I asked somebody to take some pictures. Because every picture I have of me, I'm like, or something like that. So if you see a flash, just know I have asked for that. And I hope you'll just bear with us today because we need to get some pictures so that people know kind of what we are and what we look like. So that's been a while. If you go look at it on your phone, I've got the phone part of it down because it wasn't formatting right and I'm still learning how to be a web designer. So now back in. So we thought, what's the worst that could happen? And I have a video where I, as the caring, loving father, standing about 30, 40 feet away, and I'm just recording the whole thing. It's going to be sideways, but we could still play it. Why not? Wait for it, wait for it. Leave it right there. Leave it right there. Pure joy. I mean, absolutely pure joy. And did you see the moments just before was a moment that could have ended badly? Where his foot was still in, and he kind of just kind of, well, he hits the hay bag, you know, and he kind of topples. And as he comes down, his foot kind of comes out, and he holds on somehow to this rope as he falls. And I mean, look at the face of just absolute joy. I mean, absolute joy. And I'm thinking, this kid is crazy. But it's so hard to believe how quickly they grow up. And the whole aspect of really what I wanted us to see is when we first were here 3 years ago, he wasn't even here. Yet now, 3 years later, here he is. And isn't it funny how things happen in life? Where maybe 10 years ago, life looked different for you. Maybe you look different. That was not condemning. That was not a condemning word. That was just an honest word. Life has a way of we grow. And 3 years from now, this kid is going to look so much different. Because the healthy progress of life is that we would grow. That we would grow. And I believe in the same sense of every word that I'm saying, that the God desires for us not just to grow physically, but for us to grow spiritually. I think some of us I wonder, you know, I could make it, no. He wants us to grow in our faith. He wants our faith to grow. That our faith would continually be growing. That we would continue to trust Him more. That we would continue to walk in the faith that He's called us to follow Him in. God's design for us is that we would mature, that we would grow spiritually. And I wonder for us, 2 years ago, has your faith grown? And I think about my son who wasn't even around, and now look at him. This little terror. You know, I mean, it's a joy of terror, but it's a terror. And he's getting into stuff. I come downstairs and he's got bags of stuff ripped open and all over the ground. He started to move our stools to where he moves our stool to the counter, climbs up, pulls knives out, and he cuts open things. Oh, what's the worst that could happen, right? We'll find like just knives on the ground. And it's like if somebody probably would have an issue with this if they came in. But it's just as he's growing. And it's incredible. I wonder for us spiritually, has our faith grown? Have we become kind of comfortable and complacent in our maturing spiritually, or have we grown? And I want you to know today that your spiritual growth and faith growing in you isn't about you knowing more. It's not merely about you knowing more. See, I think we have a lot of people who know a lot and do nothing. The Bible is pretty clear that faith without works is dead. That it's not faith at all. I think we do need to understand and know in order to walk in and walk by faith. But there's this balance between what we know and what we obey. And when we know a lot more than we obey, we're in trouble. We're in a spot where the enemy can really wreak havoc. See, because the enemy knows a lot about God, but he does not obey. The demons, they know a lot about God, but they do not obey. Now, what should define us as followers of God isn't about how much we know about Him. It should be about how much we obey what He's called us to. And I wonder for us, is our faith growing? Is our faith growing? Here in 2 Corinthians 10, Paul is addressing an issue. Addressing an issue that I know we never deal with in the faith community today. But he's addressing an issue, a heart, about a people who have begun to compare themselves to one another and call that maturity. Well, I've not failed like this one. Well, I've not done that like that one. So my faith is so much greater. Again, this is us saying that we're better because of others. We're in a bad spot. That's the enemy. The enemy wants to get us into a comparing and competing with one another. You know who our comparison is to be drawn to? Jesus. Good luck. Good luck for all of us. The best part about it is that we can still continue to strive for more. That we don't give up or lose hope because it's like, oh, that's impossible. Well, what's impossible with man? The Bible declares it's possible with God. That He would do in us something greater that we could do of ourselves. See, when it comes to walking in faith, it's not walking in your power, it's walking in His. When it comes to faith, it's not about being the best you can be. It's about allowing God to be God in you and through you. It's not about self-empowerment, it's about the Spirit's empowerment in us. And I pray that for us, that our faith is growing. That we're moving forward. Hebrews 6 talks about us moving forward in maturity in Christ. We see in 2 Peter 3, it says, But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to Him be glory, both now and forever. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, there is a desire that God has for us not to just remain the way we are. I've heard it said many times, God loves us enough to accept us just as we are, but loves us so much that he doesn't leave us right there. Right? That he has a plan, and it's not stopping. And I will tell you, I told the person taking pictures, you're going to have to take probably 1,000 to get one good one. Because there's something about my facial expressions when we're talking. You catch me right at the last, you know, the weirdest moment. So please bear with her today. I appreciate you. Thank you. This morning I want to look at three keys to growing in our faith. Three keys to growing in our faith. And the first key to growing in our faith is having the proper appetite. Having the proper appetite. Paul's addressing here in this passage an improper and unhealthy perspective. That when it came to their faith, that which they were measuring their faith by was by others. Well, Steve wore jeans today, or Steve didn't wear a tie today, so if I have a tie, then I'm more, well, you know, I mean, that makes sense, right? That's how we compare ourselves, or because he's failed in this, I'm better than. And it's an unhealthy intake. It's what we're taking in. It's what we're believing that faith is based on. Faith is not about us comparing. That's not what God has intended for us. You see, just as my son has grown since we've been here, in every aspect, I guess, of the sense of the word, we are called to grow. And he has grown because of what we have fed him. What we fed him. In life, we know this. We understand this. Maybe now more than ever, especially when you go into McDonald's, you see the calorie count. And you're like, oh, man. Is that per bite or is that total? I mean, what is this? We understand that in life, there are healthy and unhealthy things that we can take in. And what we take in will have an effect on us. It will have an outward effect, that which we take in. And can I say spiritually, that which we take in also has an effect on us? What are we hungry for? If our appetite is not the things of God, but then yet we expect God to move in us, then we expect his blessing, we expect all these things, but it's not our appetite, it's not what we're putting in. It's expecting for us to plant one thing and grow another. And the truth is, what you take in is what will be seen on the outside. And again, this isn't about exposing us. It really is about exposing the lies of the enemy today. It's the same way that we expose unhealthy foods. We tell their effects. We talk about their effects. We talk about how it's going to affect us. And not just in the size of our pants or shirt. There's an inward effect of unhealthiness. And in the same way, spiritually, there's an inward effect of spiritual unhealthiness that always is seen outwardly eventually. Romans 10:17 says this, that faith comes by from hearing, hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God or through the word about Jesus. We know this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I wonder for us, how many of us are really hungry for the word of God? I heard today often that our gatherings and our faith community sometimes turns more into making us try and feel better about ourselves than really hearing from God. And if we don't like what we hear here, we'll go somewhere. We have bought in to the faith buffet. The faith is a buffet. We believe this. And I know this because we walk away if we hear something we don't like. Now, there is, a healthy response to hearing something that's not God's word. But when it is God's word, and we walk away, we've bought into this faith buffet. And God, I believe, does not desire for us, even though I love buffets. Anybody else love buffets? I love it. You can take what you want, leave what you don't. You know, I love it. But God has not called us to a buffet. He desires for us to have everything that he wants for us. Not to take and leave, but to take and allow his word to nourish us. You see, the enemy wants to deceive. He wants to lie. He's known as the father of lies. Everything he speaks to us is deception. So how do we defeat or overcome deception? By the truth. How do we know the truth? The truth is the word of God. Right? The Bible declares that when we know the truth, there's freedom in it. There's freedom in it. We look at Jesus, how he overcame the temptation of the enemy. And it was by the word of God. It was by exposing the deception and lies of the enemy. And he did it through the word of God. Jesus declares in John 6 that I am the bread of life. That he desires for us to partake of him and him alone. We see in the Old Testament how the people of God lived off the manna that came from God. And that manna was not to be kept for weeks. It wasn't even to be kept for days. It was to trust God each and every day for his provision. In fact, as they tried to hoard and store, it became moldy. Can I say that with us in our faith community, in our walk of faith, if the only manna or bread you're receiving is once a week on a Sunday, got moldy bread, it was never meant to be your sustenance. This is about us coming together, strengthening, being encouraged in the faith, being encouraged in what God has called us to, but not to be our source of faith for the week. That each and every day, we should be longing, hungering for more of God. Anybody notice how difficult it is sometimes to spend time reading the Bible? Oh, just me? A couple of us? Why is it? Well, Pastor, it's boring. Really? I would contend that it's the most crazy book you'll ever read. Most exhilarating, most incredible stories in throughout history. I don't think it's boredom. I think we get our time. And if I was honest, our time management confused. Our priorities out of order. You always have time for what's important to you. We definitely don't have all the time in the world, but we have plenty of time to do what we believe is important. And why is it so difficult for us to spend time in God's Word? See, I believe we have an enemy who knows that one of the primary sources of our offense and defense against his schemes and attacks is us being in the Word of God. You see, I believe that he knows and tries to keep us from being in God's Word so then he can keep God's Word from being in us. See, when we spend time in God's Word, we are able to stand firm in our faith, resist the enemy, and he will flee from us. And I wonder for us, how often do we rely on just this short time that we gather together? How often do we rely on just that? Corey, how many times do you go to the gym? Don't you lie. How many times? 38, 40 times a day. Twice a day. And Corey, you have seen an absolute transformation in yourself. You have lost 200 pounds plus. It wasn't because you just thought maybe if I willed it, it would go away. You had to put a lot of effort in. There's sacrifice that you make. twice a day, and you shed this weight, that which was maybe keeping you from really experiencing life to the full. And now you're the cobra. You know, we have lived in such a spiritual unhealth where we've taken in so much that hasn't been healthy for us, not good, and we've lived on moldy bread. If physically we needed to get to the gym once a day, a couple times a day, to see God really do incredible things in us, how often a day should we be drawn to His Word? You know, here's the truth. I don't believe God is keeping Himself from us, but often I believe we're keeping ourselves from Him. You see, we pray for revival, but we want it just to be done. We just want it to happen. You want to know when revival happens is when a people get hungry enough to say, God, You are my appetite. My appetite is found in You and You alone. And they spend time in His Word. And they spend time in prayer. We want to pray for a divine miracle when He's already placed the miracle within. That if we would cultivate an appetite, a hunger for God, we would see His miraculous power at work in us. That's not just for you, that's for me. How often are we drawn to His Word? Is it our appetite? Are we satisfied by His Word, or are we satisfied by other things? Right now is like my worst time of the year because they produce this delicacy that is incredible. And I already have had three of them in my house. And it's this incredible, like the most incredible thing, yet unhealthiest thing probably that you could ever consume. And it's so difficult for me to walk by these things and think, no. Because I walk by them and I say, yes. And I grab one or I grab two because I want to share. That is true. That is true. And I think we had two of them in the house. You know, it is... I think it's in the same way for us. Some of us have become so drawn to the unhealthy things in spiritually, right? Like, this is all I need just to be here. Like, this is all I need to walk and grow in faith. This was never intended to be all you need. Jesus has always been intended to be all you need. And us continually, daily seeking after Him, desiring for Him to reveal Himself and in us and through us. And I wonder for us, what is our appetite? What are we hungry for? See, I believe if we're really hungry for the things of God, then we will get into the Word of God. If we're hungry for the things of God, then we want to press into the Spirit of God that You would move in us. Not about what we do. All about what He's done. And that we would walk in that, and that we would press into that, that we would declare and decide that in our lives we want to grow in our faith spiritually. In the same way, you had to make some drastic changes. I wonder for us spiritually. And when you're there, how long? Be honest, your wife's right next to you. Well, you're telling me you go, like, rather than just eating, you take a quick bite and then you work out.
Yeah, because I got a hot break. I eat like a sandwich after I go on my lunch. And after my second job, I used to go.
I'm not trying to draw this direct correlation, but a lot of us, in the same way when it comes to being healthier in our body, we just want a miracle. Yeah.
Give me the strength. And it's the same thing with that. I mean,
Yeah, and in the same way, I pray that God would give every one of us the strength to put in the work spiritually. That's right. Yeah. And in the same way, he wants you to grow spiritually. And I'm not trying to draw this direct correlation that now you need to spend 2 hours in prayer and you need to spend 2 hours. But I will say this, whatever consumes you is Lord, usually. Whatever consumes you is usually Lord. I think that we've walked unhealthy spiritually for far too long. And it's all been driven by appetite. See, the enemy knows what goodie to place on the shelf as you walk by. That's difficult for you to say no to. Pressing into what God has for you isn't always saying no to what's bad. Sometimes it's saying no to what's keeping you from the best of what God has for you. And I wonder, what's our appetite? Is it the things of God? Is it to grow in the knowledge of God? Or is it just for us not to go to hell? I think so often that's really more where faith lies. Like, I just don't want to go to hell. It doesn't sound fun. Like, what do I got to do not to do that? Because I don't want that. There's a life that God has for you that's more than just not going to hell. It's living today in the supernatural power of God. It's understanding and knowing there's an eternal promised land for us. But it's today. Second key to growing in our faith. We may only get to this. But trying to do better on my time. Second key to growing in our faith is keeping the right, not only appetite, but keeping the right company. Maybe this is a lot more applicable. Although I'd argue it's both. Both are very applicable. Keeping the right company. God is for healthy company, not comparison. Here we see, and Paul's addressing this issue in Corinth, that they began to compare, they began to do all this. And you know why Paul has to address it? Because nobody else is addressing it. Because what began to happen was they just all began to think, oh, well, yeah, this is it. If I'm better than Carl, then I'm good. Right? You know that if you're in the woods and a bear comes out, you don't have to kill that bear. You just have to be faster than the people you're with. Oh, just me? Okay. All right. Too close to home, maybe. And that's sometimes how we view faith. Faith doesn't mean our best, just better than somebody else. As if we are competing for a spot rather than walking in relationship with a Savior. And I wonder for us, not just about what we're putting into our body, but what we're surrounding ourselves with. See, the Bible is real clear. Paul even says to this same group of believers, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. This used to be like my soapbox for young people. Young people always are like, no, no, I can be around anybody. But I'd see in their life compromise as they started surrounding themselves with not the right people. And I would encourage them and tell them, listen, you can have the best thought, you can have the best intention, but if you surround yourself with the wrong people, you'll follow. We always have good intention of being one who would influence and not be influenced. But the truth is this, bad company corrupts good character. Yeah. And I wonder for us, who are we surround ourselves with? Is it the people that point out flaws in everybody else? That's what people in Corinth were doing. Like, we're okay because look at this over here. Look at how good we are because of this, right? Trying to commend themselves because of the failure of others. Rather than realizing we are in a unique, individual relationship with the Savior. And it's not about everybody else around you. It's about you and Him walking together. I believe that we're called to be iron to one another, to be ones who would encourage, to be ones who would challenge, not just tell you what you want to hear all the time. Sometimes a better friend is the one who tells you what you don't want to hear at the time, but you need to hear. And I wonder for us, do we surround ourselves with the people that just, again, it's the same thing with church and church is, that, well, I just don't like what I'm hearing over here, so just away from me, and I'll go somewhere else. The same way with friendships. Sometimes a friend tells us something. Don't worry, I'll have him sleep in no time at all. No time at all. Colton, it's my thing. Don't worry. You know, we have, see what I mean? Got it. We have this ability, and it really is a choice who we surround ourselves with. I heard people say often, well, I can't choose family. Yet I know that people do. We do. You know, we're called to love. We're called to be there for one another, encourage, strengthen one another. And I think sometimes this is kind of a double-edged thing. I don't want you to think that this means that I'm telling you to push away everybody, because we're called to go and reach those who don't know Jesus. But I want you to know that if you just completely surround yourself in that lost environment, you will be more apt to be led astray than you will to save the collective group. I think one reason why Jesus calls 12 and we have a bunch of people following Jesus is because he knows that there's power in numbers. He could have did it alone. Yet he shows us by his example not to feel like this faith walk is you and you alone. It's not about just you and God. It's about you, God, everybody else. That we're called to be with one another. It drives me nuts when I hear people talk about, well, you don't know my relationship with God. I can see your relationship with God by your relationship with others. Don't tell me how spiritual you are and that you don't want to be a part of a community of faith. That's not what God has called us to. We are better together. It's not a slick slogan. It's the Word of God. We are stronger. We are more firm. We are fortified. Now, it doesn't mean you can't fall through cracks. But it just means it's more difficult to fall through the cracks when you surround yourself with the people. See, you have the choice even when you come in here. Throughout the week, you have a choice. Either you're going to be isolated. You can come in and sit amongst people and still be isolated. Not reach out to anyone else around you. Well, I don't know anybody. Neither did I when I first came. And I could either use that as an excuse not to engage with people, or use it as fuel to be led into relationship with one another. I think about the relationships as I look around this room that I'd be missing out on. And if I simply just preached behind a pulpit and didn't engage in life with people. Yet we grow accustomed to that. Well, I don't want pastor to know I deal with this. I don't want pastor to know I deal with that. I don't think you're perfect. And that's okay. That's okay. I think we all have issues. And I hope you don't think I'm perfect. I try to be very clear about that. I try to be the first one to say I am not there. I believe God's called us to progress in our faith, not to perfection in our faith. See, our perfection comes through Jesus. Our righteousness is seen through the cross of Christ, of what he's done for us, the blood of Jesus. Not about our perfect life. And that's good news. And I wonder for us, what's the company we keep say about our life? What direction are we going? Who's close to us? Who are we allowing to speak life into us? I have men that speak life into me, that challenge me, that encourage me, that tell me things I don't want to hear sometimes. Just challenged us last week in regards to vision and being more expectant and being more visionary, that without vision, simply I'm just maintaining. I didn't want to hear that. What do you mean? Sometimes we hear things that we don't necessarily want, but we need. They don't necessarily feel good on the ears, but it's going to be really good right here. We need to understand that those who are closest to us should be encouraging, should be challenging our faith to grow. Not challenging our faith to stay in the relationship. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, this is a test of my faith. I don't even know if I want to be in this relationship. No, it should be challenging you to grow in your faith. Not through comparison, but through encouragement. Who are you close to? The third key I want to see is growing in our faith. And Terry, would you come? Third key to growing in our faith is appetite, company, and also focus. In verse 17, Paul says, "But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." You want to have a growing faith, an active faith, your focus has to be Jesus. Our faith is Jesus. Our faith is solely in and solely contingent on that which Jesus is, was, and is to come. It goes back to a book I once read that Jesus either is a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Walks through these different things because of what he professed that he was. In fact, there's greater historical document of Jesus than just about anyone else throughout history. They've tried many, many times, for quite some time, to disprove the fact of who Jesus is. And yet his word is still the number one bestseller. And yet he is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This morning, my prayer for us is that if we are going to have a growing faith, our focus has to be Jesus. Can I tell you today, there's only room for one person to sit on the throne of your life? That it's either you or it's him? That there's only room for one person to sit in the driver's seat of your life? A lot of times we want him to be Savior, but not always want him to be Lord. He's not separated. He is Savior and Lord. What is our focus today? Is our focus all about us or is it all about him? You want to know how your faith dies quick? Let it become about you. When faith is about human effort, we are in trouble. When our hope is built on a person or people outside of Jesus, we will always be disappointed. Yet when our hope and focus and our faith is in Jesus Christ, there is never disappointment. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I've had my hope on Jesus and I prayed once and it didn't happen. And I was pretty disappointed. Again, why? Because God didn't do what you wanted him to do, as if he's an ATM? I press these buttons and this should come out. That's how we sometimes view it. Yeah, Jesus in the garden, I don't think he wanted the cross. I think he knew he had to. Well, I don't know if that's biblical, Pastor. Really? He said, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done, he prayed. And I wonder for us, is our focus on our will or God's? We will never grow in our faith when our focus is about us. We'll be comfortable, complacent in our little area of our comfort zone. The danger of any comfort zone is that God is so much greater. And his desire for us is so much greater. If you were just to think a few years back as I showed that picture of Caden and how he's grown, I want to ask you, how has your faith grown? Pastor, that's your fault. Maybe some of it. I would say, what would the percentage be of 1 out of 7? That's where I would land. Maybe some of that blame. This is not what faith is created to be. Just this. This is great. We need this. Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. Not a new problem. Been happening for quite some time. People saying, okay, I got what I need, I'm done. As if it was all about them. God's love for us is all about us to flow through, to be light to this dark world. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. How will any come to faith if they did not hear? The Bible talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's you. That's me. We're called to be that, to do that. Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe you're here today, and if you're honest, you'd say, Pastor, I have no real relationship with God. This morning, we'd like to pray with you. Our other pastor, Tom's going to be up here in the front. We would love to pray with you, to walk you through and into a relationship with God. We believe it's more than raising a hand, but it's about giving a life. Say, God, I am yours. You are mine. I give you all that I am. Jesus says you can't follow after me unless you're willing to pick up your cross, meaning that you would die and that he would live within you. So if you're here today, don't leave without letting us have a chance to talk with you. We'd love to pray with you. Believe that our God is faithful. But today, really, my heart's cry, and what I really felt like God's heart's cry for us was this. Many of us, when it comes to our faith, we're in a state of stagnation, and in fact, we're in a state of death. Our faith really hasn't been growing. We've been living off moldy bread. We have not been pressing in. Our appetite has not been for the things of God, rather the things of man. The company that we have been keeping has not been that which has encouraged our faith or challenged our faith. It's been actually the opposite. And our focus has not been about Jesus. If you're here today, my prayer is that in our hearts, more than just a response, but that in our hearts today, as I pray, you would declare for yourself, God, forgive me. I desire to be and to allow and to have my faith grow and to be growing in the knowledge of you, but also in the obedience, and that my faith would grow. And today I declare and I determine that the past is behind me, and that today I make a commitment to follow after you, that my appetite would be you and your things. Spend time in your word, to spend time in prayer, that those who I would surround myself with, I will be intentional about making relationships with people who will strengthen my faith, and that my focus will be you and not me. Father, today I thank you.